Morning. It's good to have all of you today. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. Glad that the Lord has sent you our way. Well, I've already got my marching orders. I had one person told me this morning, said, I'm going to try not to go to sleep. I had another person tell me, said, don't go too long because I don't want you to run over into my dinner. And I said, okay, I'll do what I can. But anyway, so that you won't, you'll be wide awake and you won't have any idea of going to sleep or what have you, I'd like for you to just get up, take a couple of minutes and welcome our visitors and shake hands with one another. They tell me that the mind can't endure any more than the seat can stand, so get a chance to stand up and introduce yourself to one another. How y'all doing? Doing good.
Phil, good to see you this morning.
Good to see you.
Hey,
baby.
Hey.
Hey. Good to have you. Good to have you.
Hey.
How you doing? Say hi. Hey, babe. Hey, Catherine. Hey, Bill. Yeah, John Abbott, Mr. John Abbott. Jack. Thank you, Mr. Coon. Okay. I thought that would get your adrenaline started to flowing a little bit. This is my sermon. So when I get through with this paper right here, we'll be ready to go home. It may take 10 minutes. May take 20, may take 30, may take 40. But when I finish up, we'll go home. And we'll be able to eat dinner. So, but anyway, it's good to be back and be able to share with you the Word of God. It's always a pleasure to be able to share God's Word. Normally, when I speak, I'm not nervous. I'm a little nervous this morning. I don't know what that means, but anyway, we'll get through it. You nervous last week, Aaron? So, but anyway, this morning we're going to talk about Joshua. And I think probably Joshua, if you think about him, probably most of you realize that he took up Moses' place. But probably the next thing that you know about him is 12 spies were sent out. And Joshua and Caleb came back. And they gave a positive report. The other 10 gave a negative report. Joshua and Caleb said, we can conquer the land. We can conquer the land. We can do it because God is with us. often say that if Joshua and Caleb were in the Baptist church, they'd still be wondering, because we do most of the stuff by majority vote. But 2 verses 10 doesn't get it. But they were the two that said that we can get it done. And oddly enough, they were the only two that went into the promised land other than the ones that were under 20 years old. The older people, they were the only two. Because they said that it can be done. Joshua. Title of my sermon this morning is Stand Strong and Hang On. Stand strong and hang on. Joshua, a forerunner to Christ, can be compared to Christ if you want to. Typology, if you want to do that. He saved his people. Christ saved his people. If you look at the name of Joshua, it means the Lord is salvation. Look at the name of Jesus. He saves. He's the son of Nun, the tribe of Ephraim. How did Joshua get to the point that he could be used? How does anybody get to the point, really, that they can be used? Last time I spoke to you, I gave you 4 things that you could use. You remember what they were, Carol?
Yes, I do.
Okay. See, I knew that I would get a positive response from Carol because she gave me the positive response the next Wednesday night. What were they, Carol?
Compatibility.
Dependability.
And accessibility.
And visibility. Okay, 4 things. And you will find all of these things available in Joshua. How did Joshua get to the point that he is? Well, if you go to Exodus, and I'm not going to bother to do this because I'm going to run over as it is. Exodus 17, 18 through 13, you will find that Moses realized the leadership ability of Joshua because he sent him out to fight the Amalekite. This was when Moses raised his hands, the Israelites prevailed, and when they dropped their hands, the Amalekites prevailed. So what they did do, they put Aaron and one of the others, they held his hand up, and then they put a stone up under it. In Scripture, all the way through Scripture, the stone represents Jesus Christ. Moses struck the rock to get water. Where was God? He was sitting on the rock. And then you will find that Joshua was Moses' personal assistant. Go back to Exodus 24, 12 through 15, and Exodus 32, 15 through 21. You will find that when Moses went up on the mount to receive the 10 commandments, that Joshua was the one that went with him. You will find out that when he came down from the mount in Exodus 32, that Moses was with, or that Joshua was with Moses when he came down, and he heard the people when they had made the golden calf. And then in Deuteronomy 34:9, you will find that Joshua was Moses' successor. If you compare the two, Joshua and Moses, you will find out that their name means Moses to draw forth, Joshua, Yahweh saves. You will find out that Moses was reared in the Pharaoh's household. Joshua was reared in Egyptian slavery. You will find out that Moses was a shepherd and a judge. You will find there that Joshua was a military leader. He was also one of the 12 that were sent out to spy the land. Similarities. Both of them took the sandals off in the presence of God. Moses led the Israelites through the Red Sea. Joshua led the Israelites over the Jordan River. Moses lived 120 years. Joshua lived 110 years. A lot of similarities as those people. If you want to do a good study in Scripture, compare the life of Moses, Joshua, and Paul in the New Testament. And see the similarities there. See what God was trying to teach them and what they learned. You know, from Joshua, you understand the importance of aligning yourself with a good person, a strong Christian. Joshua was with Moses. You read the scripture, you see what type of person that Moses was, and when you study Joshua's life, you find that he picked up and did just about some of the same things that Moses did. Where did he learn it? He learned it because he was at the feet of Moses. The importance of discipleship as far as your life is concerned. Joshua is the central figure in the conquest of Canaan. He was probably 80 years old when God started to use him. He'd spent 40 years in Egypt. He'd spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness or thereabouts. Maybe some discrepancy as far as the numbers are concerned. But that was a 30 to 40 year period in his life before he died, that God used him for, from the time that he was 70 or 80. But God had to get him ready for the task. And a lot of us, we were talking about that in Sunday school class this morning, we want to get the cart before the horse. You don't get ready for God to use you. Let's look at, this will really get us as far as the message is concerned. That was just some preliminary. If you take your Bibles and turn to Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. So it's about the sixth, seventh book. Okay? Take your Bible. Joshua 1, and start with the first verse. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. What this refers to is Israel. Everything that's in Canaan, I've given to you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the lands of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Three times God tells him, be strong and of good courage. And this is where I take the title of my sermon. Stand strong and hang on. If you go back to the Hebrew, the word for strong is sound legs. The word for carriage is having a secure grip or secure grasp. So if you have sound legs, you can stand. And God is telling us to stand. Be strong. Stand. And he's also telling us to be of good courage, to have a secure grasp. So what God is telling Moses, he's saying, be strong and of good courage. Be able to stand and to have a secure grip. And you can't stand unless you know what you're standing for. Same as in the Christian life. And to be of good courage, you have to have a good grasp of the book. If you've got a good grasp of the book, then you know why you stand. So what he's telling Moses here is be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Here again. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper. See, Joshua's success depended on his spiritual state. It did not depend on his physical ability or his military strategy. It depended on his relationship as far as God is concerned. And that brings us to the point that your relationship as far as God is concerned depends on your spiritual state or how you stand as far as God is concerned. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. In other words, take God's word and apply it to your life. For then, if you do this, you will what? You will prosper and you will have good success. Be strong and of courage. Stand. Know what you stand on. Have a good grasp. Hold on. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three things I want you to see. He tells them, he says, be strong and of good courage. The first thing of be strong and of good courage was dealing with the land. I'm going to take the land and I'm going to split it up among the 12 tribes of Israel. What does this tell me? It tells me to be sure of my inheritance. Be sure of my inheritance. Be sure of where I'm going, who I belong to, and what I'm going to do. Second one, he goes about and he says, be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. He didn't say part of the law. He said all the law. Which Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. What is it telling me? It tells me that I am to keep the word and to keep on the right path. And if I keep the word and be on the right path, I'm going to be prosperous and I'm going to have success. I'm going to be prosperous and I'm going to have success. Why? Because that's what God told me. He said, if I stand and I have a good grasp, then I'm going to be prosperous and I'm going to have success. If I'm able to stand, why? If you go back into the sixth chapter of Ephesians, Paul tells the Ephesians what? He says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the principalities and the things that are going to come against you. They're going to come. But if you put on the full armor of God, put on the helmet of salvation, have the sword of righteousness, put on the breastplate and what have you, when these things come, as far as your life is concerned, you'll be able to stand and you'll be able to hold on because you know what's coming and you know who you stand in. I stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, be strong and of good courage. God is always with me. Eternal life. Had a hard time when I was growing up with the concept of eternal security until I came to realize it wasn't based on what Bill Wright does, but it's based on what Jesus Christ has already done. And all I had to do was accept it. I can't do anything. Nothing. But just accept what God has done. And when I accept what Christ has done, then I'm going to have eternal life. Is it always going to be easy? No. Are you going to fail? Yeah. Have I failed? Yeah. But you know one thing? Christ has always picked me up. I've asked him to forgive me, and he put me back on a straight and narrow path. And what did he tell Moses? He says, do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. Do not look up or look down, but keep on the straight and narrow. And all the way through Scripture, you'll find that narrow is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to Christianity or the eternal life. God has set the standard. He set the standard for Moses. He set the standard for me. He set the standard for you. And it's up to you whether you want to live up to it or not. See, God's standard is here. If you want to come here, that's your opportunity. If you want to come up here, then he gives you the opportunity. This all depends as far as you're concerned. Joshua, look at 24:6. Turn to 24:16. At the end of the chapter. I'm going to start with verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And in Egypt, And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. See, it really don't make any difference who you serve. God has got that standard that we talked about, okay? And you think it doesn't make any difference what I do or who I serve, or some of us don't, but it does. Because Jesus says at the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You may not agree with that, but it doesn't make any difference whether you agree with it or not. Jesus said it, and that's going to be the standard. So he goes on, and he says, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. And then he goes on down. He says, but as for me and my family, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my family, I will serve the Lord. Joshua here is giving his farewell address. He's soon going to pass into history. Many of us that are sitting here today, okay, you may not be here next Sunday. Something may happen. Hope it doesn't. But life is uncertain. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that means whether you serve him or not, one of these days, you will confess that, because Jesus' word said, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Does it make any difference whether I believe it or not? The only difference it makes is whether I go to heaven or not. If I don't believe it, I ain't going. If I do believe it, I'm going. The boat's pulling out, and I'm going to be on board. The question is, are you going to join me? That's your decision. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You have an opportunity this morning to get things right as far as the Lord is concerned. Things are between you and God, not between you and Bill Wright, not between you and anybody else as far as the church is concerned. See, Jesus doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has queens and kings. He only has the best. It depends on you whether you want to be a queen or whether you want to be a king. Because Jesus has paid the way. He's paid the price. He sent his only begotten Son so that you could have eternal life. All you have to do is accept it. And this morning, the opportunity is afforded you to accept what Jesus has already done. And that is to get into his kingdom. Last time I was here, which was Sunday before last, I told you an invitation. We accept people by professional faith, transfer a letter. But I'm interested in you as an individual making a commitment that will draw you one step closer to God. If you want to make the commitment this morning that would draw you one step closer to God, whatever it is, the altar's open. If you'd like to come pray, if you'd like to speak to me or Jimmy or any of the deacons, we're here. That opportunity is afforded to you as we sing our invitational hymn. Number 4.